Ronald Lewis and Kenneth MacDonald, broadcast by permission of the General Administrator of the Royal Opera House, Covent Garden Limited. Our next program follows in a quarter of a minute.
This is the BBC Home Service and the British Forces Broadcasting Service. Saturday Night Theatre. We present Patrick Barr and Daphne Slater in A Touch of the Sun by N.C. Hunter. A Touch of the Sun.
How do you manage to make all these ink blots? One, two, three, four, five big ones. I mean, here's a kind of galaxy. What sort of pen do you use?
Fountain pen, sir. This, sir.
Well, it certainly founts. At the commencement of the race. Why commencement? What's the matter with start? Not long enough for you? Never write an essay for me again with that word in it, Hudson. Make it a rule in life to start or begin. Understand?
Yes, sir.
No, it's not bad. But do try, my dear boy, not to use so many hackneyed phrases. Now, there's the bell. You better run along.
Oh, excuse me.
We've just finished, Mary. Off you go now, Hudson. You'll be late.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Sorry to be such a time with the boy.
I must say, Philip, it'll be a relief when you can have your study back.
Well, as soon as Father goes to Dennis...
Oh, look. That's all the sherry we have. About an egg cupful.
Well, where's it gone? Surely it was only the other day.
Well, we've had the Spencers in since then, and you know what she is.
Oh, Johnny can go for it. It's almost 3 years to the day since old Dennis came here to say goodbye. It's hard to imagine him married and rich, don't you think?
No, not particularly. In his own quiet way, your brother had a taste for the fleshpots.
Did he? Oh, no.
Well, to chuck a steady job and go to Canada at his age, it was rather brave, I thought. But he knew what he was doing, all right. Oh, I haven't told you. We've had a visitor. It always happens when you're madly busy. Mrs. Jevons, that rather handsome, blousy woman who runs the lending library.
Don't tell me. Not Father again.
Yes. He asked her to marry him yesterday afternoon.
It's too boring.
That's the third woman he's proposed to in the last few weeks. He'll do it once too often. When I told Mrs. Jevons it was a joke, she wasn't too pleased, I can tell you. I've got plenty to do in the kitchen without pacifying disappointed widows.
Yes, it's really high time that Dennis took charge of Father for a bit. You look tired, dear.
It's been hectic this morning.
Is Caroline helping you?
Oh, yes, she is. The Prossers have invited her to go to Austria with them next month.
Oh? When you say invited?
On a paying basis. It's one of those all-in tours.
Does she want to go?
Oh, of course she does. It's her first chance to go abroad.
Yes. Well, I'm perfectly willing, but it's the usual question.
£40, including travel and accommodation. Well, I told her I thought it was impossible, but she wants to speak to you.
I don't say it's literally impossible.
No? Well, in that case, I'm putting a claim pretty quick, too. How long is it since we were going to have some curtains to replace these old things and the bathroom painted and some chair covers? Well, I mean, I'm simply delighted for Caroline to go to Austria, but I do think, really...
My dear Mary, I've no intention of giving Caroline £40. As for the
well,
house...
You must admit it's pretty shabby. What Dennis and his wife will think...
Dennis and Margaret will come into this room and never notice whether the curtains are new or old or red or blue or what they are. Imagine, for instance, that they were priceless damask. Would we be any happier?
Oh, Philip, don't you start that, please. And if you really want the answer, it's yes. I should be much happier. I'm sick of looking at them.
Why look at them? I never do.
You never look at anything. Oh, it's pretty grim. I meant to get some flowers.
Is there nothing in the garden?
3½ nasturtiums.
Not here yet?
No, Father.
Well, he said he'd be here at 12. Here's his letter. Addressed from Linton Manor near Camberley. Yes, Dennis has hung up his hat all right. Smart lad. It's a good thing one member of the family has laid his hands on a little filthy lucre at last. Where are you going, Mary?
The kitchen.
Anything decent for lunch?
Chicken, Father.
Chicken, Father. Hear the confident way she said that? Optimist.
Mrs. Jevons was here this morning, Father.
Jevons? Jevons? Do I know her?
You asked her to marry you yesterday.
Oh, did I? Well, it was all in good fun.
Really, you'll have to think of some other joke, Father. One of these women will take you seriously one day, and then where'll you be?
Why, then I suppose I shall be married. It'll be a quiet, dignified little ceremony.
Can we be serious for a moment?
I am serious. I wouldn't mind being married again. My God, what sort of a life is it for me here? I'm very grateful, of course, for your hospitality, but stuck in one little room of my own, no money, nothing. I'm so utterly bored. Some days I could go out and do something violent just for the hell of it.
It'll be a change for you to go to Dennis.
I don't suppose he'll want me.
Oh, nonsense. Oh, Johnny, run down to the pub, will you, and get a bottle of that sherry we had before?
Okay.
What's that?
A camera.
Well, where'd you get it?
I bought it. Well, I won it, to be precise.
Won it? What for?
Well, a competition in a newspaper. You had to put a list of car gadgets in order of popularity. I won 14 quid, so I bought this.
Bravo!
What an extraordinary thing to do.
Well, why extraordinary?
Damn clever, I call it.
Do you mean to say you solemnly sat down and wrote out this list of car gadgets and then cut it out and posted it?
Yes. Oh, but I wasn't particularly solemn about it. It only took me 20 minutes.
Nice work.
Do you go in for many of these things?
No, I don't. Just occasionally I have a bash. Any objections?
It's simply a lottery, not a competition. You realise that.
Well,
there are better ways of passing the time, I should say.
14 quid in 20 minutes? That's hardly a waste of time.
It works out at about 100,000 a year.
I don't care what it works out at, Father. Run along and get the sherry, will you, John?
All right.
You're very severe with the boy. He only wants a few pounds in his pocket to spend. That's natural.
What worries me is his attitude, this obsession with money, with getting something for nothing. Boy, I dare say it's not his fault. Every paper you pick up nowadays seems to be full of the same thing. Wages, salaries, pay packets, dividends, differentials, money, money, money. Not surprising, I suppose, that a boy begins to think that nothing else matters.
Cash and comfort is what most of us want, and you can't get away from it.
Well, there I think you're quite wrong. To get away from it is precisely the business of education, as I see it. John is to be a schoolmaster. It's extremely important that people who set out to teach the young should provide some evidence of having other standards to live by than money. If we don't, then who will, I'd like to know? They're union leaders, they're shop stewards.
Oh, of course, we are a bit mad. I've always said so. Here you sit in a tuppenny halfpenny private school for backward boys, slaving away on a pittance. Well, if you'd taken my advice...
No, let's go into all that again, Father, please.
As you like. You've made your bed.
There are only 6 sherry glasses for 7 people, but it doesn't matter. I'll share with Johnny. Did Mother tell you about the Prosser's invitation, Father?
Yes, she did. I'd awfully like to be able to say something more helpful, Carol, but the truth is...
Oh, I know you can't give me £40, but I wondered, if I were to earn about 25, could you give me the balance?
Earn? But my dear girl...
I've been tactfully offered a job.
By whom?
Mrs. Prosser. She asked me yesterday... Oh, not directly. Did I know any girl who would come in and help with the housework and cooking? She would gladly pay anyone 15 shillings a day. Well, she kept on looking at me sideways. I could see what she was after. She can well afford it, too.
Chicken feed.
I know you're not mad on the Prossers, and I'm not either. But, well, I rather want to go abroad.
Oh, I've really nothing against the Prossers.
I have. I ate one of his perfect pork pies the other day. It damn near killed me.
It's like this, Carol... You've not very long at home before you go off to your hospital training, and, well, it seems rather a pity. I've a very good idea who most needs your help in the house and the kitchen. There's a lot to do when we're all here.
Oh. All right, then.
All these things will come to you in time. I'm always sorry for the young who have everything handed to them on a plate. They've been cheated of half the spice of living.
Ah, I like that. Echo of your dear mother. Bread and butter first. That was her philosophy. Poor dear, she never got to the cake.
We'll have another talk later, Carol.
All right, Father.
Yes, that's the line old Katie would have approved. When there's no cash in the kitty, then's the moment for a short sermon on the evils of wealth.
It was not a sermon. I do wish you wouldn't always try to make me out sententious or hypocritical. I was saying something to the girl which I believe to be true.
Well, don't get so excited, my dear boy.
I happen to think it important that my children should not grow up in the world blindly accepting the sort of values that people like the Prossers, for instance.
Well, there's nothing wrong with Prosser except his pies.
Oh, why discuss it? What's the use?
What do you know about wealth, anyway? You've always been as poor as a church mouse. I have a better right than you to make homilies on wealth. At least I had some money once.
Yes, yes, of course.
Now you've lost your temper.
I have not. At the best of times, I find it pretty difficult to say what I feel must be said without coming the heavy parent. If you chip in on their side every time, well, it doesn't exactly make it easy.
Yes, I talk too much. Well, now Dennis is home, you'll soon be rid of me. There's no room for us all in this house.
There's plenty of room, Father, if we respect each other's opinions.
Parents and married children. It's oil and water. I ought to have cut my damn throat.
Oh, I do wish you wouldn't talk like that. All I was asking...
I'll talk how I damn well please. And don't you start lecturing me, because I won't have it.
Now what's the matter?
I was talking to Carol and Father... Oh, well, you know. I must be very stupid.
You get on each other's nerves. 3 years at such close quarters, it's too long.
Yes, I'm glad he's going, I must say. Certainly you'll be much more comfortable with Dennis... I can't imagine he'll ever come back.
I wouldn't bet about it. It depends on Margaret. Having one's father-in-law in the house isn't every woman's daydream. Oh, Lord. Nothing. I just caught sight of my face in the glass. I look 73, that's all. Isn't your other jacket better than this?
I'll change. What you really need is a holiday.
Oh, yes, we could all do with that. The summer term, it's always that much too long. Let's think of somewhere really exotic to go. How about Ilfracombe?
I think they're here. There's a devil of a great car just turning. Yes, it's them.
0 hours. They're here.
Yes, all right, dear. Johnny, go and open the door.
Okay.
They're here. Wake up, they're here.
Yes, yes, Father, we all know.
Look at that. You don't see many cars like that in poor old Bloomfield Avenue. Good Lord, old Dennis has put on weight.
Come on in now, Margaret. They're in the sitting room.
How are you? I do hope we're not late.
Dennis, my dear boy, how are you?
Father.
And this is Margaret, of course. Delighted, my dear girl. Simply delighted to see you. She's even prettier than her photographs, isn't she? Yes, she is.
Well, I did hope so, Mr. Lester. And I'd like to say how glad I am to meet Dennis's family at last.
This is Mary, dear.
How do you do?
Oh, never mind introductions. Everyone knows who everyone is, surely to God. Mary, Philip, John, Caroline... There, that's finished.
I've heard so much about you all from Dennis.
This is Caroline.
How are you?
How do you do?
The size of them, Mary.
What an interesting room. All these books. Just the right atmosphere for a school teacher. And I want to see the school, of course. Is it far from here?
Far? She asks if it's far.
Is that silly?
I told you, dear.
It's that red brick building nearly opposite. There you can see from the window.
Oh, that... Oh, I see. Isn't it? There I go. I nearly said it. Oh, do stop me, Dennis.
Well, it is quite a modest place. It's a small private school, chiefly for boys who are slow in developing.
Half which?
We try to bring them up to normal standards by various methods, some of them experimental. It entails rather more personal supervision than they'd get normally, and we try to recruit a rather special sort of staff, people who are sufficiently interested to devote a good deal of their time in and out of school hours... Oh, don't let me bore you.
It sounds terribly interesting.
Oh, hilarious.
I must hear all about it.
You will, don't worry. In the meantime, a glass of sherry, eh?
You do it, John.
Is this your first visit to England, Margaret?
No, my third, Mr. Lester. And my father's been dozens of times. He's just mad on it. That's why we moved to Toronto. There's the hunt club, you know, and fishing weekends at Muskota. Wonderful trout and bass. Well, it is a sort of English life, isn't it, Dennis?
Well, sort of. Ah, thank you, John.
Dear old Dad. He's English crazy the way some old boys are girl crazy. I always preferred New York myself, but after the catastrophe, I was quite pleased to join him in Toronto for a while.
Catastrophe? What was that?
That was Robert Ellis Jr., my first husband.
Oh.
After that, Father said to me, "Now, don't make any more mistakes. Next time, go pick yourself an English public school man." So when Dennis turned up, he was pretty pleased, I can tell you.
Well, there it is. So it has paid off after all. I nearly beggared myself finding public school fees for these boys. Well, your Aunt Maud did, anyway. What's the difference? And here Dennis comes home like the sea dogs of old, with wealth and beauty from the New World.
Charming.
And you're settling, eh? Not taking him back?
Why, no, that's the whole idea. Father wants Dennis to handle the British subsidiary.
Handle? What? Dennis manage the whole damn works?
Yes, why not?
He's been wonderfully kind.
Oh, don't kid yourself, dear. Father's not kind in business.
And the school. How are things going, Philip?
Oh, there have been a good many changes since you last saw it, haven't there, Mary?
A laboratory and an art room. You'd hardly recognize
it. I'd love to look round.
I thought after lunch, if you both care to see it.
Well, I'd love to, but it's just a question of time. You know, Dennis, we must be back by 3:30.
Well, school's a school.
Is it this year you're going to be headmaster?
It's not actually decided.
No, of course it's not. That old idiot Spencer will never retire. Every term it's the same. Positively my last appearance.
How infuriating.
Ah, but you see, I have an enormous admiration for him. I was his pupil, you know. Then when he started this place, he invited me to help him. And he taught me a tremendous lot. I owe him a great deal.
You owe him? That's good. Do you know what the old skinflint has the impertinence to offer him as a salary?
Father, would you mind?
Well, I won't mention the exact figure, but it's just enough for these poor people to starve on.
Oh, you do exaggerate, really.
In fact, we live perfectly well.
No, you don't. It's pinch and scrape and worry. They never get a decent holiday. A week or 10 days in some beastly boarding house.
Oh, really?
It's gospel truth.
What a shame. And we're so looking forward to having you stay with us for a while, Mr. Lester.
No, isn't that kind of you? With no offence to anyone, I could do with a change.
Oh, I hope I remember to...
What, darling?
The pictures of the house. Yes, thank goodness. I thought you might like to see them.
My word, look at this. Mary, Philip, look at this. What a place.
I say.
What a beautiful house.
Yes, indeed.
Can I see?
We have to put in central heating. I think the previous owners were polar bears.
Well, actually, it's not as big as it looks.
Those gable windows, Mr. Lester, up on the top floor, that's a separate apartment for you. So we won't all be in each other's hair. One wants to be able to escape, don't you agree?
What, a whole flat? No sharing the bathroom? I say, when can I move in?
Well, next week will be pretty hectic, but the week after...
Perfect. Linton Manor, here I come.
Caroline, dear, come and help me, will you? You too, John. Excuse us, won't
you? Of course.
Poor old Mary. She works all the time. Has to, of course.
Too bad.
I thought she was looking a little...
Small wonder there are bags of nerves.
Bags of nerves, you dotty fellow.
You don't notice it, perhaps. But you're frightfully excitable, my dear boy. Always shouting the odds.
I'm sorry.
Of course, it's no joke having a bankrupt father on your hands. I do realize that. Yes, I'm actually bankrupt. Dennis told you, I expect.
I think he did mention it. I'm so sorry.
Yes, it was a bolt from the blue. I was an estate agent, you know, and my partner and I got the chance of acquiring some very interesting property. So we formed a little company.
Father, do you think Margaret really wants to hear?
I don't like me telling the story, but I'm not ashamed of it. Everything would have been all right if they'd only given us time. But at the general meeting, some nosy shareholder got up and asked a lot of stupid, awkward questions, and the long and short it was that my partner got 18 months. It was a gross miscarriage of justice. Disgraceful.
Too bad. I was just thinking, if Philip and Mary want a holiday, why don't they come out to the villa in the second half of August?
Villa? What villa? Where are we?
Well, it was a wedding present from Margaret's father. It's near Cannes.
Why not come? And bring the children. There's heaps of room.
It's extremely good of you both, but really, I don't think I very much doubt if we can
manage. Oh, bless you, no. He won't go. Philip go to Cannes, not he.
Why do you say that?
Of course you won't, my dear boy. Why, the fuss when you go to Ilfracombe. It's like an expedition to the Pole. Besides, who ever heard of a socialist schoolmaster spending his holidays at Cannes? The suggestion's immoral. No, a good long tramp of the Grampians with bare knees and a haversack. That's more on your line.
Thank you so much, Margaret, for your very kind invitation. We accept with pleasure. Mary will be delighted, I'm sure.
That's splendid. We'll arrange.
We'll discuss dates.
You'll never do it.
I will do it.
There's no need to shout. I'm not deaf.
I beg your pardon.
I hope you're not hungry. There's evidently a technical hitch in the kitchen.
There's no hurry.
No.
Mother says, will you come to lunch, please?
Ah, at last, lunch. And about time, too. Come along, my dear. That damn bell.
What's it for?
Feeding time at Phillips Zoo.
You can't get a word in edgeways in this house, but it's splendid to see you, Dennis, my dear fellow. And she's charming.
You think so? I was sure you would.
Of course.
It's wonderful to be back again, and everything just the same. Even Father.
Oh, particularly Father. Come on in. I'm delighted. Really.
What a car, eh? I've never seen so many damn gadgets. But I told old Dennis I didn't think much of it. What? No billiard table, I said. He looked a bit sheepish.
Yes, he did.
It's amusing.
Good old Dennis. Dennis has done it. Dennis has got there. One feels positively giddy. I risk everything to get to the position he just steps into. Well, that's life. That hen was tough, wasn't it?
I didn't think so. Did you, Johnny?
No, it was jolly good.
It was rather tough. I'm sorry, Father.
It was what they call a boiler.
It was sold as a chicken.
My dear girl, you can say what you like, but the proof of the pudding is in the eating, and that pudding was a boiling fowl.
It doesn't matter. What does it matter?
Let's stick to the facts, that's all.
It's after 3, Father. Aren't you going for your rest?
So you're all going off to the south of France, are you? me. And very nice, too. I wonder what the fare to Cannes is nowadays.
It doesn't really matter what it is. I don't think it very likely that we shall go.
Oh, I was under the impression that Philip had accepted the invitation.
Mary and I haven't had a moment to discuss it yet, Father.
I see. Well, you'd better try to chisel the fares out of Dennis. I dare say he would cough them up if you spin a good yarn. What's £100 to a man who's pocketing 20,000 a year? That's the figure. I asked him straight out and he told me. Just think of it. A villa at Cannes. Of course, you'll be raving mad if you don't go. So a little enterprise, for goodness sake. If you're determined to spend the rest of your life teaching backward boys in a dump like this, at least make an effort to poke your nose out once to see what's on the other side of the fence. You two would like to go to France, wouldn't you?
Of course we would, Grandfather.
It's a chance in a million.
That's easy to say.
The last time I was there was in 1938. One night I won 80,000 francs at the casino. But we got rid of it all in a couple of days. But we enjoyed ourselves, I can tell you. Oh, Lord. Yes, I suppose that kind of life would hardly be in keeping with your socialist principles, would it, Philip?
Well, it's just as well that everyone's idea of a good time isn't the same.
Mustn't gamble, of course. Mustn't amuse oneself. Mustn't drink, dance, laugh. Only bloated capitalists do that. Well, isn't anyone going to argue with me? Come on. I'm in the mood for it.
Oh, not now, Father, really. There's so much to do. Everything to clear up and put away.
So much to do. Always the same cry in this house. Some of you people won't be able to spare the time to go to your own funerals. There, you see. I cannot digest tough meat. Where's that bismuth? Don't expect me for tea. I may write a few letters.
Don't worry, Mother. The chicken wasn't tough.
Of course it wasn't.
He's just being awkward.
Will you please not talk about him like that?
Well, you must admit he was particularly...
That's enough, Caroline.
Will you two go and start the washing up? I'll come in a few minutes.
All right. Come on, Johnny.
Do the glasses first.
Okay.
Exhausting, wasn't it?
How he enjoyed himself. Shouting and arguing and taking charge. You'd have thought this was his house. He's delighted with Dennis. It's quite gone to his head.
Well, it's all to the good, I dare say. Perhaps he'll settle quite happily with Dennis and never come back. We've been on top of each other too long.
But what can we do? I tell that boy to come back at 3:30 and I've got to be at the San at 3:45.
Did Father push you into accepting Margaret's invitation?
Of course not. All the same.
But you can't seriously think of going.
You need a holiday badly.
But the fare's for four of us. Think. And that's not the end of it. We've none of us the clothes for that sort of holiday. Well, really, I haven't a thing.
We could get the necessary minimum, I suppose. You must have a suitable outfit, of course. We've a little saved, after all.
Oh, yes, but you've always said that was only for an emergency.
Perhaps this is an emergency.
Oh, Lord, do I look as ghastly as all that?
No, no, of course not. But you'd like a change, wouldn't you?
Well, yes, of course I would. But for goodness sake, let's not lose our heads. Incidentally, has Spencer said any more to you about your salary?
Well, no.
I often wonder if he ever thinks how difficult it has been for you.
Oh, you know Spencer. Then he's had a good many expenses this last year with the new buildings.
I know, but he should think of his staff sometimes.
Oh, of course, if the old man weren't what he is, one wouldn't put up with it. I do feel sometimes, but he is going to retire, we do know that, and he's already nominated me. Only yesterday he started talking about his own plans, when I retire, but somebody interrupted him. If I borrowed from Dennis...
Darling, you can't.
Oh, £100 is nothing to him now. He'd give me 5 times as much if I asked.
Don't be too sure.
Oh, you don't understand. All our lives we've shared everything, Dennis and I.
Remember where it comes from. What about Margaret? I'm not sure she likes us all that much.
It was she who invited us.
Yes, but rich people are often careful with their money. That's why they're rich. For her, we're Dennis's poor relations. I could see her being careful at lunch not to say anything that might sound boastful. And there was dear old Dennis being so tactful and apologetic about it all. Well, of course, it's not really as big as it looks. It's really quite small. 11 bedrooms.
Dennis seemed a bit on edge, certainly.
And what it comes to is that the rich like the rich. They talk the same language, have the same worries, and they feel at home in that same little world of villas on the Riviera and smart restaurants and grand hotels. Well, that's natural enough. But it's no place for us. If we're going to have a holiday, do let's go where we don't feel uncomfortable and out of place.
Surely you're exaggerating. I'm a schoolmaster having a holiday in my brother's villa. Well, what of it? If Margaret's friends can make anything of that, they're welcome. You'll see, they'll enjoy having us there. It'll give them a comfortable sense of their own superiority.
Darling, will you ever be able to resist waving your poverty about like a banner?
Oh, but I won't, I promise you.
You'll be awfully tempted.
I swear I'll be a model of middle-class respectability. Quiet-spoken, attentive, eschewing all controversial subjects of conversation. Yes, I shall be a great social success, sought after by the smartest hostesses of the Côte d'Azur.
I can just see you.
Well, I'll walk, bathe, probably do some sketching. I shall enjoy it very much. And so do you, darling, surely. After all, the Riviera was quite a haunt of yours. Well, here's a chance to revive nostalgic memories of a happy youth. Doesn't it tempt you? No?
Not really. Dressing up and being sociable, I just feel too plain and old to be bothered with it.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Why, Dennis was only saying...
What? Stick to the truth. I sat next to Dennis at lunch, remember. He's a dear man, but not extravagantly tactful.
You'd had a hard morning, of course.
Yes, he said something like that, so I knew. Oh, if only I didn't feel so abysmally dull. There he was, chatting away about life in Toronto and New York and how they'd had a week in Paris on the way home and all the things they'd seen and done in London, and they've only been here 10 days.
Yes, but...
And there I sat, saying, really, how interesting. And every time he asked me if I'd seen that or read the other, well, I hadn't.
We ought to make more use of the local library. It's really not bad.
Oh, some people seem to manage to keep the flag of culture flying over the kitchen sink, but somehow I've always something else to do, or I'm tired, or just lazy. And there it is. I can hardly carry on a conversation with civilized people. I've nothing to say.
How many so-called civilized people have your qualifications, I'd like to know? A first-class education, an excellent degree...
Oh, don't resurrect my poor old degree, please. That was decently buried long ago, full fathom 5 under the Brussels sprouts. No, I don't want to go to Cannes. There's a time to go to places like that and a time to stay away. Let's settle for Gloria Steadman.
All you say makes me more than ever determined to go to France. This feeling of dullness and apathy, well, I don't like it.
It's nothing, it's just...
You used to be so optimistic and cheerful, interested in all sorts of things. Music, books, politics...
My dear man, do think... You know the remarks your father makes if he doesn't get 2 large hot meals every day of his life. He even hates getting his own tea. Have a heart.
Well, there'll be an end to that now, thank God. So here's the moment for you to have a real change and rest. So that when the winter starts, you'll feel like picking up some of the interest you dropped 3 years ago, hmm? We must try not to let our existence here just dwindle away into dullness, routine. Well, what's happened? Where's your old liveliness and curiosity? If we haven't got all the latest books in the house, there are, after all, a number of intelligent papers and...
And stimulating talks on the third programme. Yes, I know, I know.
Well, then...
Look, don't ask me. I can't explain. I'm tired, can't you understand? Do leave me alone.
Yes? Oh.
3:30, sir.
Yes, come in, Hudson. Well, here you are. I've made a few more notes. Read them.
Yes, sir.
All right, then. That's all.
Thank you, sir. It's the match against the parents on Saturday, sir.
Mind you win.
Will you play, sir?
Play?
You played my first term, sir, 3 years ago. Mr. Richards says he can't, and we want a master.
Oh, but my dear boy, no, I... Oh, well, put me down if you must, but...
Thank you, sir. 2:30, sir.
Cricket. I must be mad.
No, you're not. I think it's a very good thing. You sit and work so much, you don't want to turn into an old man yet, do you?
No, that's true. That's perfectly true. Don't let me get decrepit just yet, my darling.
I believe you need a change more than I do. Well, I give in then. France it is.
Good.
Though I warn you, I shall really have to get some clothes. And Carol, too.
Go to London and get what you want. Damn the expense. I'll look after that. Or rather, Dennis will.
I'm a simple girl, Joe. I came out here to enjoy myself, and I like my guests to enjoy themselves, too. Well, what else is a joint like this for? Well, why must we have these long faces and serious conversations? And it's catching. I've hardly had a smile out of Dennison's brother Philip's been around.
You're making too much of it, Margaret. You want to relax.
Oh, maybe I'm trying too hard. But I get so nervous.
Dennis thinks he's wonderful.
His wife now. There's a fine-looking woman. She seemed a bit sad when she first came, but now... Have you noticed, Gerald?
I'm not blind, Joe.
I used to think you were going to marry him.
Oh, Gerald's a dear man, but he's too romantic for me. It's a pity. I never enjoyed anyone's proposals as much as Gerald's. Ah, there you are, Philip. What have you done with the rest of the family?
Johnny is on the beach, and the others have gone out for a drive with Gerald Harcourt.
And you?
Oh, just walking and sketching.
Oh, why didn't you tell me? I like walking.
Oh.
You like walking, Margaret?
Yes, I do, Joe.
Since when? and what does our schoolmaster think of this playground of the idle rich? Shocking place, sir.
Oh, I find it full of interest.
So it is. Did you see any interesting people on the Croisette?
Oh, plenty.
Oh, who?
No, I just meant interesting, well, anthropologically. All these people cooking themselves methodically on the beach, carefully grilling each side like a lamb chop, it's extraordinary. Now, what's interesting, you see, is that about a century ago, educated people would have thought such behavior not only shocking, but ridiculous, uncivilized. And in fact, Neanderthal man probably took his pleasures in much the same way. He satisfied his appetites and then lay naked in the sun, grunting and scratching.
That's very good. And he is right, you know. Neanderthal man. That's me, lying here on a terrace in the sun. Educated, civilized, not a bit of it. I left school at 10. What do I know? Look at me. I'm just down from my tree.
Well, my God, Joe, you know one thing, all right. How to get on in the world.
Oh, what is that? The fighting instinct, the grabbing instinct. Any hyena has it. Oh, yes, I get on. I get on and on and on. I have to. What else keeps me alive? What else makes me tick? I can't stop. How many weeks' holiday do schoolmasters take in the year? 6, 8, 10?
In theory, about 15.
15. Listen to that.
A month is all father takes, even now.
What would I do with 15 weeks? I should go off my head. I should take to golf. He's right, the professor. The 20th century ape man, that's me, always sniffing about for the tastiest meat in the business jungle, in the stock market.
That's silly, Joe.
Creeping up behind the other savages, ready to spring, ready to club them over the head with my checkbook. The Tarzan of the ticker tape. That's me.
There's nothing to be ashamed of in being successful.
Who is ashamed? I am boasting.
Philip, do tell me, what are you sketching?
Oh, I'm just amusing myself.
Oh, do let me look. Please. Can I?
I'm no good at it, really.
Oh, a pine tree. I like that. I do, honestly.
After Cézanne. A long way after.
Lord, what's this?
Sunbathers. A Picasso.
It looks more like an inferno to me. Why have all you women got such tiny heads and such huge... Honestly.
It's just an impression, you know. This sun's pretty hot. If you'll excuse me.
You see how it is, Joe? I don't seem to be able to get any contact with him.
What sort of contact have you in mind?
You know what I mean.
Margaret, the Maynards are on the phone. They're at Antibes. They may look in for a drink.
Oh, my Lord. When they say drink, they mean drink.
Oh, it is time. I must go for my walk. Think of it. All the marvels of science, and yet I must walk. I must plod up and down the streets for the good of my liver. In mercy's name, I said to my doctor, give me some pill to cut out all this boring exercise. He can't. See you both later.
These Maynards, Dennis, we could have done without them. She'll shock Brother Philip, I'm afraid.
Oh, he's not so easily shocked.
By the way, I heard you talking about Christmas to Philip last night, didn't I?
Oh, did you?
Well, I think maybe we shouldn't fix anything like that just yet. We might have other ideas.
Oh, well, of course, I wouldn't dream of fixing it without consulting you, dear. Anyway, they may not be free.
Not free. Now, I'll tell you a curious thing about poor relations.
Well, go on.
No. Maybe that's bitchy.
Darling.
You're awfully different, aren't you, you brothers?
Not really, you know.
But you want to get someplace, don't you? You want some fun out of life. Well, don't you?
Yes, I do.
That's what I mean. He can't leave that piano alone, can he?
He and I have always been such very close friends, Margaret. I wouldn't want... I'm sure when you and he get to know each other better.
Yes, dear.
He's always had rather unconventional ideas about what people call success. And really, if you knew what he'd done at that school... I don't know if I've ever told you, but...
You've told me, dear. You've played that record till it scratches. He's wonderful, he's amazing, he's a genius. I know.
I'm sorry.
There he goes, old Sir Joseph, off for his penitential. Poor man, I must say he looks the picture of misery. It seems his doctors warned him that he's digging his grave with his teeth. He told me that last night at dinner, pouring cream over his pudding. He means to go down fighting. What's his line, shipping?
He's a remarkable man. Father always swears he has second sight in the stock markets.
He had a lot of stocks and shares and half a street in Buenos Aires, a bank in Rio, and a line of steamers to the Argentine. How pleasant it is to have money. Hey-ho, how pleasant it is to have money.
You must admit he circulates it. He's very kind.
Well, I'm sure. And no pretensions, no illusions about himself. You know where you are with a man like that.
Are the children enjoying themselves?
Oh, immensely. But, well, you know, they were inclined to imagine that the Riviera was a sort of private fairyland for the specially privileged. Something indescribable. A Xanadu. And here it is. Now they know. Yes, I'm grateful to you both. The dispelling of illusions is a valuable part of education.
12 o'clock. Well, if the Maynards are coming... 5 years ago, when I first came to the south of France, I had plenty of illusions about it. But do you know what? I still think it's a wonderful place.
There I go again. Who put a grand piano in the villa, Dennis?
It was a big room to furnish.
Oh, get it tuned occasionally. Don't just leave it.
I will.
This fellow Gerald Harcourt, what does he do?
His father left him a huge business, timber importing. He's chairman. Actually, he doesn't do much. Most of the summer he drifts about, plays tennis.
A busy fellow.
Yes. But when you get to know him, he's extremely nice. Rather diffident. Not quite what you'd expect.
It must be quite an experience for you, mixing with these captains of industry.
You know, I found them awfully friendly and pleasant, Philip.
Good.
Well, why not, after all? I must say, I do object to the attitude of people who say to me, "Ah, you won't have any time for us now, of course. Hell, what sort of a heel do they take me for?" And I do wish Father would drop his habit of patting me on the back and saying how clever I am. Damnation, does he really believe I married Margaret just to get a good job?
Probably.
Well, it's too much.
Oh, don't be an ass. What's the matter with you? You know, Father.
Yes, but one gets a bit sick of that joke. But I must say, I'm glad to be back.
We're glad, too.
I intend to see a lot of you and Mary once things get settled. When you get to know each other a bit better, I think you and Margaret will get on awfully well.
I'm sure.
Naturally, English ways of thinking are still pretty strange to her.
Oh, that's nothing. They're pretty strange to me. Oh, there you are, Carol.
We've been for a wonderful drive. Inland over there, up into the hills, where there's a village perched on the edge of a precipice. Oh, you were silly not to come, Father. You'd have loved it.
Where's your mother?
Oh, she's just coming. I got some postcards. Look, that gives you an idea. We sat on this wall and had drinks. You could see Cannes and the sea in the distance.
My dear girl, your hair.
Was it awful? We had the car open and I sat in the back. Oh, and the view. You should have come. Mr. Harcourt's sweet. Look, he gave us each a hat for the sun.
Very nice.
Oh, it's a marvelous car, too. You just press a button and the hood folds down. Oh, Mother, I've just been telling them what they missed.
Yes, it was wonderful. Flowers everywhere. All sorts of flowers, aren't they, Gerald?
So often people come here and never leave the sea. And after all, one seafront's very like another. The asphalt promenade, the deck chairs, the grand hotel. The pattern's the same wherever you go.
Dennis, it's the Maynards again. They phoned they want to meet us on the beach for a bathe first.
A bathe? What, go in the water? They wouldn't dare.
Well, honestly, I think we ought to go and look. There's always the chance of an accident.
I'll get the car. It's quicker.
Any more for the shore, Mary, Gerald?
I'd love a bathe before lunch. Can I come?
Of course, dear. Do.
I'll just change. Don't wait for me. I'll run down the hill.
I thought I'd bathe this evening.
The evening's the time, I think.
What about you, Philip? You've been walking. Wouldn't you like a bathe?
Well...
Oh, come on. Live dangerously.
No, thanks. Not just now.
You'd better watch out, Mary. He's obviously just mad about me.
Have you been miles, dear?
Up the hill and then down to the shore. I left Johnny exercising his French on the girl in the beach bar.
Oh, good.
Good?
Well, his French could do with some polishing.
Yeah, so could the girl.
This lucky man has travelled everywhere. All the places we dream of going to one day.
Oh, how very delightful.
Yes, yes, I've always been fond of travelling, but I don't do quite as much as I used to. Now that so many people do it, it becomes more and more of a business, doesn't it? Booking accommodation, the rest of it.
I must say, travelling as you do, you should see his car.
I have.
Yes, but if you do it often enough, the roads across Europe begin to seem awfully long.
But you see so much more in a car.
Yes, but the seventh time, I suppose I'm spoiled.
There's a law of diminishing returns.
I should like empirical proof of that. Let's go on amusing ourselves out here till we simply long to get back to dear old Bloomfield Avenue.
It's a pity you couldn't arrange a few days in Provence on your way home.
Couldn't we? If we got off the train at Aix, for instance.
Yes, yes, you could start from there, but you must have a car. Of course, you could hire quite easily. If you think of doing it, I could give you an itinerary that would take you round the best of it in the shortest time.
Just 2 days, say. Couldn't we see quite a lot in 2 days?
Certainly, oh yes.
Oh yes, the Van Gogh country, Arles, Saint-Rémy. It'd be pleasant to have a few days to look round. But unless we cash in our tickets and walk to Calais... Sorry to throw spanners into the cold water over the wet blankets.
How stupid of me. And tactless.
Oh, not a bit. It was a perfectly normal suggestion.
Yeah, one ought to think.
That you couldn't guess.
I know your husband's a schoolmaster. One ought to have a little imagination. Somehow, though, you don't give me the impression of being a schoolmaster's wife.
Don't I? What's your idea of a schoolmaster's wife?
Oh, I vaguely imagine someone rather dull and drab and spectacled.
Perfectly right.
Obviously. It's a boys' preparatory school.
Yes, a rather special sort.
Big?
Small.
Well?
Sorry?
Your husband runs it, I suppose.
No, he doesn't.
You don't mind me asking all these questions. It's just that I want to picture how you live.
It's not a very exciting picture. I shouldn't bother with it if I were you.
A schoolmaster's wife. No, I can't see it.
Well, don't look too closely or you might.
May I ask you one more very impertinent question?
Really the last? I'm on holiday.
The last. And you needn't answer if you'd sooner not. Did your husband really mean... Are you actually pretty short of money?
Good Lord, yes. Chronically. Why, we wouldn't be here at all if our fares hadn't been paid for us.
How interesting.
Interesting?
Mm. I think it explains something that I find so refreshing in you. This eagerness, this pleasure that you take in everything. Just looking at shops or going for a drive.
Oh, it's all a treat to us, you see, so we gape and stare and exclaim, you mustn't mind.
Mind?
Well, you say just looking at the shops, but you must admit some of them are really lovely. The silks, for instance, such ravishing colours and the designs. Oh, I could stare all morning. Lord, what I could spend here. And no nonsense with sensible and inexpensive little numbers. Bring out the best, have it specially made. And the shoes and the furs and the jewellery. I'll take the lot.
You know, I've always had a theory that it's people who live in rather difficult circumstances who get most out of life.
And a very nice, comfortable theory, too. You must talk to Philip about it.
You don't agree?
Perhaps I'm prejudiced.
But doesn't it stand to reason? Where there's no struggle, no doing without, life loses its savour, surely.
Does it?
You don't think so?
You know, there's a side to struggling that's not quite as savoury as you imagine. What do you think it's like everlastingly being careful, for instance? Never being able to lend £50 to a friend, say, or give your children some extravagant treat? And where does carefulness end and meanness begin? And do you think it's easy not to feel sick to death of it sometimes? Small wonder that people with money look different from others, because they're comfortable, safe, insulated from that not-so-gracious living of the strugglers, of the people who live in rather difficult circumstances. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go off like that. You dropped your theory on my toe. That's Philip. Poor man, it's a long time since he laid hands on such a piano.
It would give me such enormous pleasure if only I could help you in some way. Is it impossible?
You have helped.
I meant, well, your son, for instance. If he's going into business, I've got a good many contacts.
He's going to be a schoolmaster, and Caroline's to be a nurse.
Oh.
I really would ask you if there were anything.
I expect you're fairly often in London, aren't you?
Not really. My sister lives in Kensington and I have a day with her occasionally, but mostly I'm busy being a schoolmaster's wife at home.
Well, couldn't you perhaps lunch with me once in a while?
Well, it's not very easy. It might be possible.
Do make it possible. A meal, even an errand for you, would make me feel less futile. I lead such a useless sort of life compared to yours, just drifting about. Well, what's the point of working? I'm not interested in business, and I've too much money anyway. Of course, I ought to have settled down long ago. I have been married, you know. Only I managed to make a mess of it.
I'm sorry.
It was my own fault. Oh, don't go.
No, I wasn't.
Well, I was afraid you were. The truth is, I can hardly bear you to go out of my sight. No, you needn't tell me it's ridiculous and hopeless. I know that, I know. But that's how it is with me. I can't see anyone but you in this place, or hear any other voice, or think of anything else. I try, I swear I do. It's no good.
Yes, I
know, you needn't say it. You said you were going to bathe this evening. Well, I know a little beach at Taul where not many people go. There's no distance. You could easily be back in time for dinner. Will you? Oh, for God's sake, say you will. Please, 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 my darling.
You'd have done better, Dennis, to accept the exchange in the opening. As it was, you didn't develop your queen side till too late.
My position seemed cramped all the time.
Care for another game? The hijinks will go on for an hour or two yet.
All right, one more.
Unless you want to dance.
Well, Margaret's fond of it, you know.
All the social accomplishments now. Mary likes it too, but I can't do it. Shuffling and jigging round the room at my age, I just feel rather ridiculous. Even Sir Joseph dances, looking rather like an elderly orangutan. Incidentally, it was good of Margaret to lend Mary a dress.
Suits her, doesn't it?
Yes, admirably.
She's looking much better, don't you think?
Yeah. It's wonderful what a difference about 10 days has made. She was rather low in spirits. For this relief, much thanks.
You have had father, too. I felt bad about that, Phil.
Well, he's your worry for the time being, and that'll make a difference. And then the children will be standing on their own feet fairly soon. Yes, I've a feeling that we shall gradually emerge from the tunnel.
Have you heard from Father?
Bless you, he wouldn't waste a stamp on me.
Well, Margaret heard from the housekeeper. It was rather a cryptic letter. Apparently things aren't too happy.
Is there a housemaid?
Yes.
Is she excruciatingly ugly?
No.
That's the trouble, then.
Oh, damn it all. Do you really think so?
It's very likely.
Well, if you're right, I don't know what Margaret will say.
You'll have to get used to that. It's the way loneliness takes him now.
Yes, but I mean, with the servants.
Were it not for imagination, sir, a man would be as happy in the arms of a chambermaid as of a duchess. Father was never troubled with imagination.
Oh, that's going to be a great nuisance. Do you think I ought to write to him?
If you like, but it's probably a waste of time. It's bound to end soon. After all, he's an old man. I can smell heliotrope.
The trouble is that Margaret
would... Petrusha. Hello. I've been dancing furiously with a young man everyone calls Bobo.
Bobo? Ah, that's the Vicomte Jean-Louis Christophe de Chauvigny.
Oh, never mind, he's charming. Oh, how awful my French is, though. I keep getting hopelessly involved in subjunctive clauses. Quoi que je puisse, or pou, or pousse.
Enjoying yourself, Caroline.
Oh, wonderfully. What a place. To be able to dance and look at the sea and all the lights. Oh, all the lights.
Have you had a drink?
Have I not? Puis-je vous offrir un verre de champagne, mademoiselle? Mais avec plaisir, monsieur, I said. Mais volontiers. Oh, dear, I can't believe we're going back on Saturday.
Well, another year, perhaps.
It's been something to remember. I shall boast to the Prossers. Look at that yacht all lit up. Oh, how beautiful Cannes must look from out there. Do buy a yacht, Uncle Dennis. Why don't you? You ought to, really. Fancy not having a yacht.
How many glasses of champagne did Bobo give you?
I really don't know. Does it matter?
Oh, not a bit. Well, I must go and give my imitation of a host. We'll play again tomorrow, Phil.
I should go easy on the champagne, if I were you.
Is my face red? Oh, yes, it is. An alcoholic flush. How awful.
You ought to come and dance. I wish you would.
I don't really go in for dancing, you know.
It rather bores me at home, but here somehow... Do you suppose we'll ever come back here?
It's quite possible.
Is it? It's got the feeling of something that doesn't happen twice.
Do you mind particularly?
Not really. I'm awfully glad to have seen it, though. It's certainly a change from Ilfracombe.
I thought you liked Ilfracombe.
Oh, it was all right. But fancy having this to come to. Imagine it. I really must marry a tycoon. Perhaps if I carefully nursed one back to health, if I sat up all night pouring beef tea down him. Oh, what I wouldn't do for a man who had a villa like this.
I wish you wouldn't talk like that.
Why not? Oh, sorry. You haven't enjoyed yourself much here, have you? It's a pity. Goodness knows when we shall have another holiday like this.
Oh, I've enjoyed it.
Yes, but not as much as we have. Most of the time you seem to have walked about alone or played chess. There's nothing the matter, is there?
No. One gets older, my dear girl, and duller, I dare say.
Oh, darling, that's nonsense. But you're no older than Mr. Harcourt, for instance.
Oh, perhaps it's not a question of age.
He's dancing with Mother.
Is he? Is he good at it?
Oh, reasonably.
Then he's better than me.
Carol, your young man is waiting. He said if I saw you...
Oh, is he getting impatient?
Well, not very. He's eating an ice.
Oh, plenty of time. I do wish you'd come and dance, Father.
My dear girl, I can't dance.
Well, you could if you tried. Anyone can. I wish you'd come, just sitting here alone.
As it happens, he won't be alone.
What do you mean?
Because I want to talk to him.
Oh, you can talk later.
No, I can't.
He's coming with me.
Carol, dear, run along. I'll join you later.
Oh, what a bore you are, Johnny.
Well?
It's just to tell you, I've had a stroke of luck. I've been offered a job.
Offered it? I don't follow.
Mr. Harcourt, he says he can find me a job in his firm.
This doesn't make sense to me. How can you go into Mr. Harcourt's firm if you're a schoolmaster?
I've decided I'm not going to be a schoolmaster.
Since when, may I ask?
I've been thinking about it for some time now. Well, the fact is, I'm not cut out to teach, Father. I'm sorry, but I wouldn't be any good. I'm not interested.
And what is Mr. Harcourt's business?
Timber importing.
And timber interests you, does it?
Well, no, of course not. But it's a job, and apparently they're quite good prospects.
Good prospects, I see.
Well, you always wanted to teach. It was simple for you. I've got no vocation, none at all. And since I've got to earn my living, I might as well make some money and get a bit of pleasure out of life. Well, that's the way I look at it.
I see. And what's your definition of a bit of pleasure?
Well, the usual things that people do who've got a reasonable income. Travel a bit, run a car.
So that's all that your education has done for you. A scholarship at the university, and it's just a waste of time. No other idea in your head but to amuse yourself. What a lamentable admission.
Well, I don't see why. I only want to do what others do, work for the best living I can get. Well, what do you expect? There's nothing special about me, Father. Every term there are dozens cleverer than me leaving grammar schools. I don't kid myself. I mean to get somewhere, and I'm ready to work. But I won't sit slogging away as a schoolmaster year after year on a miserable salary as well as you've done.
Be quiet, will you? That's enough. I don't want to discuss it anymore.
Do come and have some supper.
I'm not hungry.
Well, you don't have to be hungry to eat this supper, does it?
No, indeed.
It's really no hardship to peck at a little caviar and have a glass of champagne.
I don't want it.
Well, I shall go to hell for gluttony, of course. Haven't you been dull sitting here?
Not at all. I've been hearing all kinds of news. For instance, I understand that you've offered my son a job.
Well, I said I'd be very glad to take him on if he hadn't made any other definite plans.
Of course, it all needs discussing, Philip, but it's extremely kind, don't you think?
He has no sort of business training or background. Until this evening, it was an understood thing that he was going to be a schoolmaster.
Yes, but...
Yes, dear, but nothing's decided. Johnny has sometimes said to me...
Whatever he may have said to you, not a word has come to my ears until tonight. Suddenly, out of the blue, he announces to me he wants to be a businessman. And his further education, his scholarship to the university, that's to be thrown aside, I understand, so that he can go straight into an office. Well, I utterly disapprove of the whole project, and I should be grateful to be included in any further discussion of my son's future.
But look here...
I beg your pardon. I had no intention of interfering.
Of course not. Philip, can't you see...
I object very much to having the matter discussed behind my back by people who are not concerned with it.
And what about me? Whose future are we discussing anyway?
Johnny, please.
Well, I'm not a child. Why shouldn't I accept a job if I want to? You chose your career, Father. Why shouldn't I?
To say yes to the first person who offers you a living, do you call that choosing a career?
Is this the time to start discussing all that? Johnny, please go, please.
But I don't see...
Please.
Oh, all right. Just treating me like a child.
It must seem like gross interference, but I do assure you I was only trying to help.
Yes, of course. I quite appreciate that.
When the music stops, you can just hear the sea.
Please don't think me rude and ungrateful. It's just that, well, it was rather unexpected.
Yes, yes, of course. Oh, I promised to run the Duviviers back to St. Paul. Excuse me, will you?
I was only trying to help. Who asked for his help? Damn his interference. If he wants a youth in his firm, let him pick someone out of his own set and leave Johnny alone.
I wonder which you're considering, Johnny's career or your own satisfaction.
What do we know about this man Harcourt? Absolutely nothing except that he's a wealthy parasite. Yet you all seem hypnotized by him. He only has to open his mouth and all our plans for the boy are discarded for the glorious chance of life on an office stool.
Suppose the offer is perfectly genuine. Can't we even discuss it?
I want no offer of help from a man like that.
Can't you see what a prejudiced, bigoted attitude that is? Is it his fault that he was left a fortune? Does that necessarily make him despicable? I like him.
Like him? That playboy?
And as for Johnny, I had a suspicion this was coming. He hasn't been happy about schoolmastering for the last year or more. It's no use pushing him into something he hates.
Hates? I didn't know he hated it.
No, it's curious. You're so clever with other people's children, but Johnny... Oh, he's intelligent and decent enough, but he's no particular originality. He just wants to get on in the conventional way. I should say John is cut out to be a steady, hard-working, reasonably successful businessman and nothing more. He'll commute, drink beer, play golf at the weekends like a million others. We don't always get the children we want, you know.
What you don't seem to appreciate is that this attitude of his makes nonsense of everything that I've tried to instill into him since he could think for himself at all. I've tried to teach him that life should be something more than grabbing at what you can get. That you should give something of yourself to it, make some contribution, serve some cause. Religion, education, art, medicine, the sea, the air, the stars, anything. Anything provided that it's followed in some spirit of enthusiasm and passion and delight. And at 18, he decides to devote his unique existence to the making of money in order to buy himself amusements. And you don't find it deplorable, no? Well, yours is the more sensible, realistic attitude, I dare say. But I've been largely responsible for his education, and I feel a sense of astonishment and failure.
Give him a chance. How do you know what interests he may follow when he's found his feet?
No, please, I'd rather not.
My dear child, don't be ridiculous. Why, there's not enough champagne in a glass this size to make a mouse drunk.
No, really, Sir Joseph.
Oh, come on. Don't be frightened of your father here. His bark's worse than his bite. Take your medicine like a good girl.
But really, I've only just had a glass.
She said no, Sir Joseph, didn't you hear?
No evening classes here, please. Now, Caroline, we will have a competition. Let's see who can swallow a glass of champagne in the shortest time without hiccuping. Here, now, take it.
She said no. Damnation, can't you leave her alone?
Well, what did you want to do that for?
What's going on?
What's happened?
Drunkenness isn't amusing. Please keep these jokes to yourself.
Drunk? He can't be serious. A few glasses of champagne, a little brandy.
Will somebody please explain?
It was only a joke. I was just offering the girl a glass of champagne.
It was partly my fault. Well, Father was worried because he thought... Shall I go to her, Mother?
No, dear, better not. Run back to the party.
I'm so sorry, Aunt Margaret.
Why should you be sorry, dear?
Run along, darling. I feel I ought to apologize, Sir Joseph. Philip doesn't usually... He's not quite himself this evening.
Oh, no, please, it was my fault. One shouldn't play silly games. Evidently, I touched some spring by mistake and out jumped the tiger. Serve me right. Look, my hand is actually shaking. He scared me so. Tarzan turned rabbit, you see.
Oh, Joe.
Oh, that's nothing that a little brandy won't cure. Forgive me, Mrs. Lester. I didn't mean to upset him.
Of course not.
And forget it, Margaret, please. Perhaps I'm a little drunk after all. Serve me right. Like a tiger. Bad show. Very bad show.
Margaret, I'm extremely sorry this has happened.
It's no fault of yours, dear.
I can't understand it. It's so unlike Phil. Good Lord, he'd never have behaved like that in the old days, honestly.
Ah, the good old days. Mary, it didn't strike me that Joe was drunk. Was he really annoying Caroline? Was she worried?
Oh, I think Philip took it all too seriously, Margaret. He was in a mood.
A mood? You know, between ourselves, I don't think Philip's happy here.
Oh, I'm sure he is, dear.
Are you? Has he told you so, Dennis? Or do you just say that because you'd like to believe it? I've an impression that the whole atmosphere of the place gets on his nerves, and the people, too. And I wouldn't want to keep him here a day longer than he can stand it. It wouldn't be a kindness.
Oh, look, darling, I'm sure you're all wrong about it. I'm perfectly certain. Philip's enjoying himself. Yes, really.
Let's not argue about it, dear. Let's just ask the opinion of someone who really knows him. Well, Mary, what do you say? Is Philip enjoying himself?
In his rather special way. Yes, I think he is.
I'm so glad I'm so wrong. I just had an idea that it was right up to his neck. Meanwhile, since Joe's a very old friend and I wouldn't want him to feel hurt or unhappy, maybe Philip would feel inclined, in a friendly way.
Oh, Philip will apologize, of course, Margaret. I'll see that he does.
Will you, dear? I'm sure that will make everything quite all right. If you'll excuse me, I'll just go and see Joe isn't restoring himself too completely. Oh, Dennis, if Philip wants any more glasses to throw, he's welcome to the Maynard's wedding present.
Oh, dear.
What is it? What's the matter with him? He seems to have changed so, Mary.
People do change under pressure. And that's how we seem always to be living nowadays, like people at too high an altitude. Here's a piece of unnecessary advice. Don't invite us again. It was sweet of you to have us this time, but you can see for yourselves it doesn't work.
At least I hope you've enjoyed it.
I? Oh, my dear man, can't you see? Isn't it obvious?
I'm delighted. Incidentally, I suppose you know you've acquired an admirer. The things Gerald says to me about my charming sister-in-law.
Really? I'm glad. He has been extremely kind and generous, I must say.
Oh, I'm sure.
He's danced with me all the evening. Wouldn't leave me. He has nice old-fashioned manners. He's always fetching things or warning me against imaginary drafts. I rather enjoy that for a change.
Do you?
Yes. And tomorrow he's taking us all to Vance.
I wonder what Philip will think of the chapel.
Oh, I don't suppose he'll go. He can't bear Gerald. Called him a parasite and a playboy. Well, all right. Do you get no marks for tolerance and humility and ordinary human kindness?
He's a nice chap.
Oh, he has no ambition to achieve anything. No burning desire to reform society. No axes to grind. No passionate intensity. Oh, sometimes I wonder whether... There's a tranquility in civilized idleness, and that's restful. Hey-ho. Monday. Still four more carefree days.
I'm afraid I caused something of a brouhaha, Dennis. I apologize. But really, to see that drunken old satyr trying to force drink on Caroline, it made me see red. Damn him. Well, what's the matter? Not a tragedy, is it?
Oh, no, no. Of course, it's not a tragedy, Phil. Only...
Only what?
Well, Margaret feels...
Shall I tell him? It's just like this. Either you apologize, or Margaret would be glad if we left.
Oh, she didn't say that.
That's what she meant.
I see. Well, certainly I'll apologize. I lost my temper, I admit. I'll speak to Margaret at once.
I do wish you would. I'm sure that would put everything quite straight.
Well, I will. Don't worry.
Good. Well, I'll go and tell Margaret now. She's a pretty serious hostess, you know. She worries.
He's dreadfully henpecked, poor Dennis. Well, I'll certainly apologize and make my peace. But all things considered, I think we'd better go.
Go? Go when?
Tomorrow, I thought. The evening train.
Tomorrow?
Yes.
But that's ridiculous. Anyway, we'll never get on the train.
We can try. I'll go round to the station first thing.
But why?
Well, it strikes me we've been here quite long enough.
You aren't enjoying yourself, so we must cut short our holiday, is that it?
Do I usually behave like that?
No, you don't. That's why I'm surprised.
The atmosphere here, this artificial existence, it's having a deplorable effect on the children, for one thing.
Oh, that's nonsense. A deplorable effect. They're enjoying themselves quite harmlessly.
I disagree.
Philip, you're being priggish.
I gather you don't want to leave.
Well, why should I? All the business of coming out here, and now suddenly we must take the next train home. It's madness.
I've given you my reasons.
Can't you understand that people need a release sometimes? Remember how they live at home, always behaving, always under your eye. They've probably years and years of Broomfield Avenues in front of them, and how much of this?
You seem to regard their home and the real world as something to evade as long as possible.
Why encourage this futile escapism? It's all very well for a rich dilettante with no thought in his head but how to amuse himself next.
Oh, you will make a moral issue out of everything. Because we're enjoying a fortnight's holiday out here, it has to be dubbed escapism. If it were a boarding house in Devon, it would be an innocent holiday, I suppose.
There's something in that, as a matter of fact. At least there'd be less temptation to lose one's head.
There's been no losing of heads. That's pure imagination.
Is it?
Philip.
You've enjoyed yourself out here, haven't you? Driving about the country, dancing.
Yes, I have. I've enjoyed every minute of it, every minute.
I'm glad.
Are you?
Well, I confess there have been occasions when it would have been pleasant to have had a car and done one or two of these things together. I want to go. I don't think I can stay here another day. Do you understand? I want to go. Please say you will. You can pack tomorrow morning, can't you? I'll help you. I'll get the ticket somehow. Oh, for God's sake, say you will.
Very well. We'll go.
That's settled, then. I'm very grateful.
We'll go.
Mary, someday perhaps you and I...
Yes, someday, I dare say. Someday.
We're going. We're going.
This is really a bit much.
When he was here, he never ceased complaining, and now he insists on coming back on the first day of term and with Mother in London. Well, where's the sense in it?
I don't suppose we've heard the whole story. Well, probably they just wouldn't keep him.
So we've got to, is that it? They could at least push him out of the way upstairs, but we've got to have him round our necks all day. People in our position always get the dirty end of the stick. It's typical.
That's the most boring bee you've got in your bonnet. Give it a rest, for God's sake.
Perhaps you didn't notice how we were treated at the villa. Gently patronized all the time.
If you go about looking for slights and insults, I dare say you'll manage to find some.
The grammar school boy having a wonderful treat.
If you hadn't such a chip on your shoulder, you'd realize that no one gives a damn about that nowadays.
That's Father's story, but I know better. I can remember when we had no time for Prosser, a vulgar, uneducated meat pie manufacturer. And what happens? Prosser makes a lot of money and sends his son to a good public school while I'm educated on the state.
Oh, of course, if you feel so very aggrieved and inferior, model yourself on Prosser, why don't you? And when your son's a ghastly little snoblet in a top hat school, you can stick out your chest and feel happy.
Oh, sneer at Prosser by all means. But at least he has worked for his wife and family.
What a revolting remark.
It's all damn fine. But people like Father ought to think twice before they marry and inflict their sort of
life
on...
Shut up!
Philip, can we come in?
Of course. Good afternoon, Uncle Dennis. Good afternoon, Grandfather.
Good afternoon.
Your father, Bud?
He's over with the headmaster. He'll be back any moment.
And Mother's in London, but she'll be back soon, I think.
Are they expecting me? Has the bad news been broken to them?
I told you, Father. I rang last night.
Oh, yes, your room's quite ready for you, Grandfather.
Oh, thank you.
There's a case in the car, Johnny.
I'll get it.
Sorry it's so heavy. I packed the spoons.
It's no trouble.
Of course not. Granddad's always welcome. Thanks very much, Dennis, for running me over here.
Not at all.
Good of you and Margaret to have had me. Very good.
Oh, well, I...
Well, I'd better go and unpack. Thanks, Dennis. My respects to Margaret.
Of course, Father.
See you later, I expect.
Well, I think he'll be happier here. I dare say this place really suits him better.
You wouldn't think so to listen to him.
He's an old man, remember. Ah, Philip...
He's here?
Yes.
I'm packing.
Oh. Is room ready, Carol?
Yes, quite.
Good, thank you. Carol, dear, I want a few minutes with Uncle Dennis.
Of course.
I'm awfully sorry about this. Really, though, he made himself pretty impossible. The housemaid complained to the housekeeper, and when she went up, Father apparently, well, played the fool. And then he would keep coming down when Margaret had guests, and... Well, butting in. What finished it was the night he went into the kitchen and ate half a plate of lobster patties. We had some people for dinner, and Margaret was pretty upset. Well, naturally.
He loves lobster.
Yes, but I'm afraid Margaret got a bit tired of it.
Mary gets a bit tired of it too, you know.
I'm sure.
3 solid years we had him, without a break.
I know. Oh, what the devil can I do? Margaret says she's willing to pay for a room in an hotel, but she won't have him in the house.
He hates hotels. No, he must stay here, of course.
And it's awfully good of you.
Naturally, I'll contribute towards his keep.
Oh, damn.
But of course Margaret agrees too. After all, there's food and light and laundry.
Yes, but all that, there's plenty of time. Mary should be here soon. Her sister's not too well, apparently.
Grace? Nothing serious.
I don't think so. Mary thought she ought to spend 24 hours with her.
How is Mary?
Fair.
Oh, she seemed so well in France.
Yes. Well, it's nothing one can put one's finger on.
What did she say when you told her about Father? I hope she wasn't upset.
I haven't spoken to her. When I rang up last night, she was out.
Oh?
Somewhere or other. I left a message with Grace. Is anyone out of the villa now?
No, we closed the town when we left. We all came home together, you know. Joe insisted on a couple of nights in Paris on the way back. To recover from Gerald's driving, he said. We lunched with Gerald yesterday.
In London?
Yes, at his club. He was asking after you all. Look, we must really get you over soon to spend the day and look round the place.
In future, I think it'd be best for all concerned if you keep your invitations to us down to a minimum.
What's that? What do you mean?
Don't be offended.
You're not serious.
Well, it doesn't do. You can see it for yourself.
I know what it is. You're like all the rest. You think I married Margaret for our money. You think I hung up my hat. Oh, yes.
Nonsense.
You despise me. I felt it from the first. And I swear to God it wasn't like that. It was simply... in that atmosphere. It's impossible to understand unless you've actually... My God, do you think I'd have married a woman I didn't care for? The malice of people, and now you.
Nothing's changed except what's quite outside ourselves. Circumstances. Now, don't worry. We'll keep in touch.
Oh, yes. Swap Christmas cards.
There'll be opportunities, of course, only as things are...
Only as things are, we're to keep out of your life. Is that it? For fear we corrupt you, I suppose. Well, that seems to be carrying priggishness a bit too far, I must say. All right, then. Go to hell. I didn't mean that.
Dennis? I'm sorry I'm late.
How are you, Mary?
So you've brought Father back to us?
Yes. Yes, I'm afraid we've failed you. He and Margaret... Philip will tell you.
Well, it can't be helped. You'll stay and have some supper with us.
No, thanks. I really must be getting back. I'll say goodbye.
Oh, but rushing off like this, must you really?
Yes, I... Well, goodbye to you both.
We'll see you soon again, I hope.
Yes, of course.
Goodbye.
The matter with him? You've quarrelled?
No, there was no quarrel.
Well, he seemed very odd. Where's Father?
Unpacking in his room. I brought my desk and things down last night.
Oh, dear.
How's Grace?
Oh, Grace is quite well. I'm sorry I wasn't here. I should have liked to have seen to his room myself.
So Grace is quite well?
Yes. You rang her, didn't you? She hasn't been ill. I invented her illness as an excuse to go to London to meet Gerald Harcourt. We had met twice before. The second time he said he was in love with me, and wanted to marry me, and begged me to go away with him. Last night I went to tell him that it was impossible, that it was finished. It's a pity you telephoned when you did. You need never have known. I had to see him a last time, that's all.
So he loves you. And you him? No? There must be some attraction, though, surely. Hmm? Well, tell me, there must be.
There was.
Of course. And the wonderful life he could offer you, a wealthy man like that. Well, couldn't he?
Yes, he could.
Just so. I wonder why you came back here. Understand, it's not necessary for you to stay. The children are old enough to shift for themselves, and I don't really think I want a wife on such terms.
Philip, I've given you no reason to turn me out of your house.
No?
If I could explain...
Explain. I can't quite take it in. I've never known you tell a lie. You said that Grace was ill. You told me a lie. Well, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Then what explanation matters after that? Oh, go on then, say something, make some excuse. If there is an explanation, in God's name, what is it?
Yes, what is it? There must be something that makes me so enjoy what's new or what's different. I've never been quite as single-minded as you. There's a way of looking at the world and an uncommitted attitude to living that you may think despicable, but that I can accept easily enough. We're not all meant to look out of the same window, surely. There are even sorts of luxury and idleness that, for a moment anyway, seem to justify themselves. Seem to be more reason for holding on to life and loving it. And then to be admired and courted. It's so long since... Oh, yes, I know we've been married 20 years and it's a little ridiculous, but I enjoyed it. It made me feel young again and I wanted it to go on and on. Well, you can't understand that, of course, and I can't defend it. Perhaps it's just greediness. Anyway, I knew that it would end soon.
He asked you to leave me and marry him. A man doesn't do that unless he has reason to think that there's a serious possibility.
There was no serious possibility.
No? Then you deceived him as well as me.
Yes, you're right. In the end, I realized that I had quite misled him. But it was nothing I said.
You should never have married me. I watched it all happening in France, everything you describe. I watched you become a different person, stretching yourself, laughing, talking freely, like someone who's come home at last after a long journey. Yes, you became the woman you might have been if you'd never met me. Brought up as you were, it was a mistake to marry a prig of a schoolmaster.
It was no mistake. This is my life here, and I want no other. Do you think I don't know that now? You must believe that. If you don't, then what's the good?
Oh, Mary, there you are. Well, this is a pleasant surprise for you both, I'm sure. The turning up of the bad penny.
How are you, Father?
Better for being back, curiously enough.
I do hope your room was quite ready.
Quite, thank you, Mary. I don't say it isn't a thought chilly.
Oh, I'll go and get you the oil stove.
Oh, thank you. She looks a little pale. Too much London life, I dare say. You can congratulate yourself you're not married to Margaret. In good, plain Anglo-Saxon, she's a bitch. After all, whether she likes it or not, I happen to be Dennis's father. I didn't see why I should be concealed from public view like the man in the iron mask. So at the risk of scaring her wealthy friends, I made an occasional timid sortie. Dennis has my sympathy. She's eating him alive. There'll be nothing left of him soon but his boots. I say, you've grown some splendid weeds while I've been away. You've some work there.
Yes.
Father, I wonder if...
Well, young fellow, my lad, one any more on the pools?
It wasn't the pools, Grandfather.
You and I ought to get together in the long winter evenings and really play this pools game scientifically. After all, someone's got to win the cash. By the way... My paper, my scandal rag, I suppose you cancelled it, did you?
Yes, I think we did, Father.
Oh, well, if you're not frightened of it corrupting the morals of the young, I'll have it again, please. In fact, I'll stroll down to the shop now. Won't be long.
If you've a minute, Father.
Yes?
I know what you're going to say, and I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're wasting your time. I know all the arguments, and I've made up my mind.
I haven't said anything yet.
I just want to make it quite clear once and for all that I'm not going to be a schoolmaster. I'm sorry if it's a disappointment to you, but it's my life after all. It's my life.
You must do what you think best for yourself.
It isn't that I'm all that keen on money for money's sake, but where are you without it?
Yes. That old perplexity, an empty purse, or the day's vanity, the night's remorse. Everyone must solve that one for himself. You try it your way. I've no experience, of course, but I don't imagine it's particularly difficult to make money, judging by those who do it. Dennis is sure to know people who can help you. After that, it's just a question of applying yourself, taking your opportunities as they come. Oh, you'll succeed, I'm sure. You've plenty of ability. Only try to remember... We'll talk about it another time.
Yes.
Thank you, dear. There's not much oil, I'm afraid, and we've none in the house.
I'll get some.
Oh, that would be kind. You better get a gallon.
Right.
More houses going up. When we first came, do you remember? We could still look out at the trees and fields and almost imagine ourselves in the country. Subtopia closing in. Did you dream of escaping? Well, I don't blame you. It's agreeable to imagine one is doing some splendid service to society by educating backward children. But people with a taste for self-sacrifice should go it alone, as the saying is. Do you remember a boy called James Willie?
Yes. Yes, of course. You had him in quite often.
One of my star pupils, one of my successes. I used to boast to Earl Spencer about him. He showed me this in the paper this morning. A little paragraph about a young man sent to jail for robbing an old woman and slashing her across the face with a bicycle chain. And it's for toughs like that that I've worked here for 15 years and deprived you and the children of anything but the bare necessities.
Well, you're bound to have failures. You always knew that.
Yes, I'm bound to have failures. For one thing, I don't teach as well as I used to. I get impatient more quickly, lose my temper, shout. I'm stale. I've been at it too long, I'm stale. One oughtn't to go on and on and on like this. One should have a complete change for 6 months, a year. Get away from it. Travel, write a book. Renew oneself. What a hope. I'm a teacher, and I must teach or we don't eat. I must go on teaching for another 15-20 years in order to get a modest pension to live on. What nonsense people talk about liberty. There's only one free nation in the world, the nation of the rich. The rest of us are just an army of prisoners. I've kept you too long behind bars. Let me see. There and there. I've drawn those lines about your eyes and mouth. All my own work.
I'm tired today, that's all.
Did you dream of escaping? Well, I dream of it too. Did you know that? I like to fancy myself an idealist, a despiser of materialism and so on, but if it's true, if it's not just an attitude, then why am I sometimes simply twisted with envy of people who've money and freedom? Why do I covet? Why do I hate? Why? People shouldn't try to live beyond their spiritual means. They shouldn't attempt roles they haven't the moral character to sustain. Oh, damn this school to hell!
Don't say that. I've cursed it, too, for the way it holds us, swallows all our time and energy in our best years. Try to escape, though, and it's curious. Life looks a little hollow without it.
I managed to buy the last copy. Incidentally, have you been in the shop lately? They've got a new assistant. Quite an eyeful. Yes, a damned personable young lady with a real figure, quite Juno-esque. Go and look at her, Philip. It'll give you an appetite for dinner. I might take this opportunity to acknowledge or express my gratitude to you both for having me back here again to live with you.
It's natural.
It's nothing of the kind. People of my age are a curse to people of yours, and the fact that I'm a parent doesn't improve matters. I'm merely more interfering and disagreeable than anyone else would be.
Oh, really, Father?
Do you mind if I finish what I have to say? Thank you very much. I shan't mention this matter again, but I would be glad of your attention for another 15 seconds. When I get ill, as of course I shall do in the end, I wish to be taken to hospital, and that with the minimum of fuss and argument. God knows I'm enough nuisance to you when I'm well, and I'm fully entitled to die on the health service. Is that clear? Very good. That's all I have to say. Oh, that damn noise is starting again, is it? 10 to 6. What's that for?
Spencer's usual talk at the beginning of term.
Aren't you going?
He can do without me for once.
I should think so. I've often wondered how the devil you do it, teaching the same thing to a lot of mentally defective cubs year after year. What does it feel like, Mary, coming home to do the brat's haul after a holiday on the Riviera?
Oh, one always feels a bit restless after a change. That's normal, once the term starts, though.
Well, as long as you're satisfied. My impression was...
Of course we're satisfied. I imagine everyone has moments when his office feels like a prison and other people's work seems so much more interesting and rewarding. Don't you think that you should go, dear? You always go, don't you?
It doesn't matter. It's not necessary.
Of course it's not. I'll bet you know it by heart.
But you know how he likes you to be there, Philip.
It tickles his vanity, that's all.
You don't understand, Father. Spencer likes to have the staff there on the first day. Do go.
Don't you? When in doubt, get tough. That's a golden rule in dealing with employers.
Really, I wish you wouldn't interfere. What point is there in being here at all unless he believes in it all? Unless he does it as well as he can. To work half-heartedly would be to make our existence futile. Can't you understand that?
Well, don't get so excited, my dear girl. Keep your hair on.
He expects you there, doesn't he? Then go. Can't you see that it matters? If Spencer doesn't care, I do. Philip, please.
Oh, leave him alone.
Oh, instead of offering useless advice, Father, it would be very much better if you were to read your vulgar newspaper and keep quiet. Philip, I'm content to be a schoolmaster's wife and to live here or anywhere else. I'm content. But I won't be the wife of a cynic or a man who surrenders when he's tired or dispirited. Understand that? Oh, for God's sake, go.
Don't. Don't, my darling. I must go, of course. I'll go now at once. Look after her, Father. I'll be back in a few minutes.
There. Now, he's gone. Tears? Good heavens.
He must work. Don't you see? It's the only way. What happiness can there be for us unless this life is his choice and his satisfaction? And his fulfillment in the end. How else can we live? How else?
In A Touch of the Sun by N.C. Hunter, which was adapted for radio by Peggy Wells, Philip was played by Patrick Barr and Mary by Daphne Slater. Robert by Austin Trevor, Margaret Hilda Kreisman, Dennis Hawthorne, Gerald Harcourt, William Fox, Sir Joseph, David March, Caroline, Tracy Rogers, John, Glyn Dearman, and Hudson, John Berry. The play, which was recorded, was produced by Charles Lefeu.
You might like a reminder that the play you've just heard, A Touch of the Sun, will be broadcast again on Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Now, before the news at 10 o'clock, I'd like to draw your attention to a broadcast which you can hear next Thursday in the third program. John Betjeman will be giving a reading of a poem by Tennyson, Aylmer's Field. Here are the opening lines.
Dust are our frames, and gilded dust. Our pride looks only for a moment whole and sound. Like that long-buried body of the king, found lying with his urns and ornaments, which, at a touch of light, an air of heaven, slipped into ashes and was found no more. Here is a story which, in rougher shape, came from a grizzled cripple whom I saw sunning himself in a waste field alone, old and a mine of memories, who had served long since a bygone rector of the place and been himself a part of what he told.
The opening lines of Aylmer's Field by Tennyson, which will be read by John Betjeman next Thursday in the third programme at 5 to 9. Philip Drew introduces the programme the night before, Wednesday at 8:40. The 10 o'clock news in 2 minutes.
10 o'clock. This is the BBC Home Service. Here is the news read by Brian Martin. The British Eagle Britannia, missing in Austria after a flight from London, is feared to have crashed in the Alps. It had 75 passengers, many of them going for winter sports, and a crew of 8. Princess Alexandra's baby son weighs 9 pounds 6 ounces. West Ham, Swansea and Preston are into the FA Cup semi-finals. Oxford are out. The United States has developed a 2,000-mile-an-hour jet aircraft, which President Johnson says is better than any other in the world. Sir Theobald Matthew, Director of Public Prosecutions for the past 20 years, has died at the age of 65. The long-range weather experts say March will be warmer than usual.